is the relationship, if any, between the Sikh religion and our faith?
What is your faith?
The
I am teaching no faith.
Well, we do not have Sikhism, and we do not have...
Basic principles of all religions is the same. The no-ism that I am teaching you, mind that. Remain in your own faiths. But you have taken the first step, elementary, which is meant for the preparation of the ground. Now you have to take the other step, which is referred to in your scriptures, but you have forgotten. That's a no new faith, no new religion, nor I am going to advocate any religion whatsoever. There are already so many faiths existing. You follow me? So this gathering here, it is a pure spiritual gathering, common ground for all to sit together, irrespective whether they belong to one religion or the other. As a man we are one, as a soul we are one, and also the worshipper whom we worship, God is also the same. There is no ism here, no ritual, no rites, no special form of prayer.
This very question was answered by a man I asked about. I said, what is the relation between the Sikh religion and the Radha Swami faith? And he says, it is the same, with the addition of the Master. That's the way he answered this question.
No.
So I'm glad to hear this, said this one.
Yes, this is the fact, you see. Sikhism also preaches the same thing. I think if all the scriptures of the world be taken together and take out the purely spiritual part of those scriptures, I think they won't form even the 1/20th part of the Sikh scriptures. The voluminous stay here. But they all refer to the light and sound principle and the need of a guru or a master, even the Sikh. The scripture also denied that. He said nobody can see God except through the master. No, they not only say that, but they say nobody has ever been, nor is, nor ever will be able to know God without a master. So Sikhism does provide for master. And very emphatically. But the general point is, you know why? When masters leave, there are formations. So long as the practical masters are there, they go on all right. For want of practical masters, so formations become stagnations. Then stagnation results in deterioration. And there are fights between religion and religion. So this is what is true, this is the truth. And we forget and masters come to revive that truth again and again. Don't you see when Christ entered the synagogue, what he said, you have made the house of my father a business home, isn't it? And he drove them out. The teaching are the same. To err is human. For want of practical people, we dwindle down into error, you see. And the master, sometimes I do tell, we are proud of our masters to whom we belong. The question arises whether the masters to whom we belong, they are proud of us. They can be proud of us only if we live up to what they say. They said, you must be reborn. Another master said the same thing. But we don't know what is the meaning of being reborn. The guy said, don't be, marvel not if I say you must be reborn. No, people have forgotten. They simply interpret it just to have certain form and rites and rituals and believe in some master and that is to be reborn. But that is not so. So ever since, you see, if you go without any prejudice, you see, you find the same truth. We, in our own zealousness, consider perhaps we have got the only truth, nobody else. But truth is there. Master came to give us the truth. Of course, they gave out whatever was necessary at the time. But they all refer to that. You must be reborn. So to me, my parents study of religions. As a child and at the feet of my master, I have come to that very 100% truth. I met received religious heads of various religions. They all give in there. They cannot deny. The fact remains fact, you see. Truth is truth. So I have regard for all masters, you see. There are when this question was put to my master, why don't you raise a new religion? He said, what he said? He said, there are already existing so many wells. What is the use of digging up a new well? Why not take out the water from the very wells that are already existing? Truth is there, you see. You perhaps must have read that book, World Unknown. What is it there? That gives reference from all religions. Quotations. With what more is what? The pity it is that we have forgotten. We worship the same God, we call Him by one name or the other, that makes no difference. All the same, we are concerned with that reality which is spoken of by so many names. If you say water, or aqua in Latin, or in so many other names in other languages, all the same we are concerned with the liquid, which is called by these words. Unless we have the liquid, there is no use of just simply repeating one name or the other. That is only directs our attention towards that thing which is liquid, and by drinking which your thirst is quenched. This is the truth, you see. Who can deny? Tell me, where all men are born the same way. Is there any man who denies that? Some people in their zealousness say once it so happened in the time of Kabir the Great. Kabir was a great saint. Brahmins, the ministerial people, I would say now, they claim we are born with special privileges from God. We are superior to all men. And he simply put a very blunt question, if you are superior, why were you not born some other way? So all men are alike, you see. How to consider you got two eyes, two ears, two hands, two feet? Born the same way. And out of all other things are the same, you see. And it is you who make differences. It is you who make divisions. When masters come, they look from a universal point of view. They consider all humanity as their family. Four children of 10th Guru were killed. And then his wife came up and asked, where are my children? He said, well, now when four have died, so many are alive. So this is the angle of vision of the master, you see. They look from the angle of the man body or the soul, embodied soul. As a man, we are all one. Of course, I'm carrying this badge, you're carrying those badges. All the same, we are men first. The same difficulty is with us. Our souls are under the control of mind. Mind is under the control of the outward faculties. We are given up to outward enjoyments, all of us. If we are to find God, they say body is the temple of God. You are in the body, and that's very, there is some power which is keeping you in the body. Otherwise we should run away out of this bed, but we cannot. So unless we just withdraw from outside, our attention is withdrawn from outside, we can have no awareness of our own. Unless we know ourselves, we cannot know about the power that is controlling us in the body. We're all the same, very different. God in light, all masters say so, God in light. Of course they use their own words. Some say it is Jyoti, some say it is Noor. Some say the truth clothed in light. Very different. Even when the Zoroaster came, what he said? He advises his followers to keep fire burning all around in their homes. And say, what sort of fire should be? Unstuck fire. They ask us, Roshan. My point is, you see, I'm not giving you something new, some new religion, new concept. That's the old truth, which has all along been the same. We have been forgetting. Masters have been coming to revive that. Again the time has arrived. We have got so many religions. Why so many religions when the truth is one? The difference due to the fact, though they have realized the truth, they know this. Though they have not realized that parties and separate sects, subsects and so on, they're daily increasing. And that is apparently due to the fact that we have not realized, seen the truth. So when masters come, they don't start any new religion. They say already there are so many social bodies of the religions. But remain in whatever you are, just what first step you have taken, take now the other step, which is given in our own scripture, but we have forgotten. What do they do now? I went to the king of army of Templars, army of Templars, you see. He invited me, I went out there, they were going to make Templars. Then they don't allow anybody else, but especially invited me in Germany. I went there, what did they do? Those who made Templars, they made to stand candle was lit outside and put it in front of him. Then, all right, he was given that, whatever the usual custom is, then the other man put sword over his here. Now what does that show? We must crucify ourselves to reach that light. But they have forgotten inside, they don't know how to crucify, you have to take cross daily. What is cross? Have you ever considered? Cross is that. It is not cross. Well, take cross daily, right above body consciousness. And see the light within. That is becoming a true Templar. In any religion you will find the same thing. In all places of worship you have the same symbols, light and sound. So unless we rise above, take cross daily, we cannot have that light, you see. We cannot hear the voice of God. I assure you, I am giving you no new faith, my friend. Don't be misled. Remain in your own religion, but try to understand more. Pity it is that our ministers are also not in the know of whole things.
Not aware of that.
That's a pity. I had a long talk with the Vatican's at Rome for 2 or 3 hours. The bishop in charge of the non-Christian religions, he was. When you talk over the whole thing, he said, you say right. Like, all right, now you see it is the true teaching of Christ. Then why don't you not change the whole thing? I quoted an instance of John, Pope, Pope John. He shorted something, he never consulted this committee. Order to do that. When John could order, why can't now? He said, if you don't do it, half the bishops will revolt. I will bring them round in time. The truth is, don't you see? Any awakened man does realize that. That's another thing one man thinks in the zealousness of his own sixth, that we have got only the truth. Mormons say they are the only born that way. And Christians perhaps say nobody else has come at all in the world too. Well, truth is truth. I went the other day in a unity church here. Well, I asked him, what are your teachings? He gave me pamphlet. I read it. It is there. Christ lived before Jesus. Let me warn them. Christ lived before Jesus. And what is Christ? One man came, I came here last time in 1955. The question was put to me, when is Christ returning? I told them, has he ever left you? No, the point is like that. They're saying there, you see. Christ said, I shall never leave thee nor forsake thee till the end of the world. If he had not left us, what's the question of returning? So I read that pamphlet the other day. I bought it with me. They say Christ lived before Jesus. So Christ is the God power or the Guru power, you see, which continues for the guidance of child humanity from time to time. Even before Christ, even before Buddha, or the Guru Nanak, or anybody. We are all his children. How can he disregard his children? Those who were born before Christ or Guru Nanak or anybody, what about their fate? And what about after? Let us take for granted those who believe in those, they will be saved. Take it for a moment. But what about those who came before? Will they all go, be doomed? On the common sense point of view. So Unity Church says, I got that perfect. The fact is, even fact. Any awakened man realizes that. So my point is, you see, we are all children of God. We are all men first. Then embody souls. Soul is of the same essence as that of God. And the same controlling power keeps us in the body. Man's body is a golden opportunity we have got in which we can realize God. But to realize God, we must know ourselves first. Because it is the soul, conscious entity, like alone can know the like. You cannot be known by the outgoing faculties, or intellect, or vital air. These are the facts. So that God power, you see, continues. Sonship continues. So these are only for want of practical people, you see. We just zealously stick to one thing or the other. The result is religious war. In the thousands were people killed. Well, I give you a broader view. Does not the Bible say that God does not reside in temples made by the hand of man? What should we say now? We have respect for the holy places of worship. Because the people sit together in sweet memories of God, where more than one man sits, Christ says, I am there. So who is Christ? Christ is God power? Call it Christ power or Guru Nanak power or Kabir power, that is God power which manifested at human poles to guide the child humanity. So we have regard for all, you see. So no new faith, please, mind that. No label so far. If I so long as I may, I won't permit if the people after me do it, that is their own faith. But remember, this is no new faith. It is only a common ground called as spiritual gathering. Where men of all religions sit together. Here in sometimes in hundreds, in India in thousands. Of all faiths, of all religions. They are given out only ethical life, purity of life, and contact with God, that's all. You may say prayer this way or that way, or perform this ritual this way or that way. Of course, they are meant to develop love and devotion. That's the first step. That's all right. The second is just understand the two important scriptures that we have got. Understand them. But to understand them, we need somebody who's got those experiences, who's been on the way. So that is why all are dear to me. Hindus call me, I go, they give them some Jaskehera, your scriptures say that. I go to the Sikh temple here with my coroners.
Yes.
Here are your scriptures.
Yes.
Your, I mean to say, they consider them to be a new, probably some new religion. Well, I say all are religions. Social bodies are different, of course, out of things. Everything is the same. I go to the churches, to the all different kinds of churches. I met the Orthodox Christians too.
Yes,
I met the Coptics too, Byzantine too, Protestant too, and Roman Catholics too. I met the Jews. All the basic principle is the same. I gave a talk in the Jews temple, yes. You remember?
Chicago.
How they appreciate it. Give you a forgot.
Chicago.
When Moses heard these commandments of light and storm, thunder, they never to it. Pity it is that we have forgotten it, that's all. For want of practical people, we consider we know better. But truth is one. You join any school, the purpose to become a degree in the education, you must be educated. And when you come out of any school or college, you have your degree. Do you write with the degree? I am M.A. of Christian College or a Hindu college. You don't write that. See, that is a degree of spirituality. Therefore, to already know scriptures, we have forgotten. We need somebody who knows the way. That's all. He knows the way, it can give us that experience. Past masters are also needed. Had they not come, the scriptures would not have been with us. No, they go to testify what you say. Even the, I tell you, the past scriptures be not with us. A master who has known the way, he is not dependent on the scriptures. He knows the way, can give the way. Simply he quotes it from other references to give satisfaction to the people. Really, this is our own teaching. That's all. It's a practical thing, you know. Thank you, there's no new faith, my dear friend.
What effect does suicide have on the soul's development, Maharaji?
Well, blind, you see blind and both fall into the ditch. They're expecting heaven after death. If while alive man is not in heaven, how can he be after death, you see? A man who is learned while alive, he is after death, he will remain learned. If I go out this room then, I will see my time here. I cannot change. If I meditate, I must by going out, I will remain the same. So similarly, you see, what we are when we leave the body, what we are. We cannot change by leaving the body becoming. I mean, angels, those who are just given up to the outward enjoyments, given up like anything, they are the earthbound souls. Those who are better, they have got this little higher, and that is what is proved nowadays by the spiritualism. Spiritualists, they contact with the souls. And those who just become divine, spiritual pure, they go to the lap of the fathers, you see. By suicide, what you mean? He meant something else.
No, taking the life, taking your life.
Yes. You see, our life is most valuable than our body. Our body is more valuable than the outer things. If we come in a way that we even, hate our life, he's going to kill us, it is a very strong action. See? That reaction will come, and Theosophical Society says, a man who suicides, he suicides at least 100 bottles even after. Every time that reaction will come, you kill him. Some people, you see, suicide for no reason.
Because the urge of killing is there.
Yes. That's a heinous crime, you see, to kill oneself. How can you have a dream you will kill your own life? It's a very strong reaction. If there is some controlling power, some higher power, or God power, or Christ power, you might say, if there isn't that might, that reaction may be suffered down, that's another thing. So there's no other...
100 times thereafter?
This is Theosophical literature tells us.
Yes, Theosophical literature tells us.
Because it's a very...
The urge is in 100 lifetimes to commit suicide.
That reaction comes, you see. You see, we never like to sacrifice our life. Our great difficulty is we won't like to die, you see. We like to sacrifice everything, out of possession, even body can never mind. Nobody wants to die. But the man who wants to die, it means very strong action. That must react. Yes, please.
It is said that, that God is love, and love will take one to the heart center, that's in the heart, to the heart center, and yet the science of the soul begins at the sixth ganglion. And there's still a center in between. How can that be reconciled?
I tell you, these are the words sometimes mislead us. Soul is love personified. God is love, and soul is also love, being of the same sense of God. The heart of the physical body lies here. The heart of the saints lies here. That heart, when they say, it is a question of heart and not head, they make a difference there. Head means intellect, not head is intellect. And heart means in our own self, that ingrained in our own soul love. Love not any particular part of the body. This is machinery that might react to there. That's only some little load of flesh, heart, what it is. That is left behind. When that is left behind, even then that should emit love, does it? When a man is dead, soul leaves the body, is there any love in the heart left? You find how. So love is in our souls, you see. And the seat of the soul is back behind. From there it enlivens the whole body.
The heart center would be in the ganglion.
Yes, yes. Here.
And then there's another in between the
yes, 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 they say. There are six ganglions in the body, but Master don't touch them. They just give you a lift, come up here, all at once. They start from there. How great concession it is. Yes, please.
Wrong practices, wrong yoga practices leading forces downward on the spine into the area of Kundalini. Could you expand on that a little bit, please?
I tell you, there are ways and ways. There are man-made ways and there are God-made ways. Times have changed. There are so many systems of yogas. These yoga systems were introduced in the old ages. There are four ages: Golden Age, Silver Age, Copper Age, and the Iron Age. In the Golden Age, they say, these were introduced in the, when they were Golden Age, they were. Then the people lived up to 1,000,000 years. It is said so in the scriptures, Hindu scriptures. And there are instances to show what, that there was one Singhiriki. He put in 88,000 in the yoga practice. 88,000. And excuse me, I need not find out, but I have given in the scriptures, he was led away by some and gave, had it, son. Even after doing 88,000 years of penance in that way, he could not control us. See? So, I mean, we fall every day, but only by the way. And then in the second age, it will cut down to 10,000. Even then we could have put some thousand here, 2,000, 3,000. In the copper age, the age will cut down to 1,000. Even then we could have put in 200, 300 years, that way. Nowadays nobody lives beyond 60, 70 years average. How can we those systems introduce in the old ages we can do today? We are heredity not fit. Those are longer ways, time-consuming, hazardous. The masters introduce, cut down the prana system altogether to befit the times, you see. And this is the natural yoga that you are given. It is only to be still, physically, intellectually, little different, given you know yourself. You have the same as that of God. This is confession, according to the times. Masters introduced. So we do that to all those, there are ways, but there are difficult ways, we are not fit. One man met me, now you refer to the Kundalini question. That says, you see, the Kundalini arises from the rectum, you see, and thus passes through the spinal cord, comes from the head. Well, that is a very longer way, and that fire burns, the whole body appears to be burning from head down to foot. There's no remedy for it. Only a very strong man could, I mean, suffer, withstand it. One man met me in India about 3 years back. He was doing Kundalini and he was just all burning from head down to foot. That Kundalini power awakened and he came to me, he said, well, I'm in this very much trouble, I cannot do, I've been to hundreds of people, nobody can help me. I told him, please leave that aside. Your purpose is to come up here, why not come by the straight way, the natural way? So I gave him a sitting, he was initiated, all trouble was gone, you see. Why to take up the longer ways? If you got aeroplanes nowadays, why you go on a plodding on foot? Times have changed, you see. There are ways, of course, they have gone that way, but we are not fit, honestly, without any exaggeration. Today 3 children said, they saw light and they saw, they heard the sound of bell and thunder and drumbeat. Well, that way you cannot prove it. This can be proved. And the yogis, I tell you, those following, they cannot prove spirituality all at once. They say, go on, do it, it will come in due course. Now you see, everybody can prove it. See for his own self, you see, within half an hour or so. So this is the latest, I mean, concession of God for those who are really seeking after it, to be fit the age, that's all. Yes?
Is the lifespan of an individual determined at birth?
Yes.
Nothing one can do about will either shorten it or lengthen it.
Yes, he can shorten it, he can prolong it, but that is definitely ordained. All masters say, you guys say, thy days are numbered. Our age is fixed not according to the number of years or months or days, mind that. That is fixed according to the number of breaths we take. Is it? The right use of breaths can prolong our life, and wrong use of breath can shorten our life. That's it. Normally we take 8 to 10 breaths in a minute. If we are passionate, we take 18 to 20 breaths in a minute. Is it not shorted? If you got rhythmic life, you take 3 to 4 breaths in a minute, that prolongs. And if you kumuk means just learn to control the breathing inside. I met people who could control even for 2 hours. I met people who just put underground for 7 days. Then your life is prolonged. But Master don't advise to take up that way, because we have to dwell spiritually. By following that way, you do not, that can show miracles to others, but really your inner life should change. You must come in contact with the light and come with you. Your life can be prolonged, shortened, but not beyond the number of breaths you have to take. Yes?
In leaving the body, for instance, when the spirit leaves the body, what would be considered, might be considered the escape hatch, say?
I don't follow what you mean.
Well, when one escapes from a sunken submarine, they have an escape hatch where one can leave it.
Do you know how to leave the body, or what you mean?
What point would the spirit leave the body?
What place? Well, that is life. Have you seen men dying?
No.
Yeah, what happens? The life is withdrawn from underneath, goes up slowly, then comes to the back of the eye. Eyes are upward. Then the adoption comes. The seat of the soul is at the back of the eye. You see? Then the option comes. That is why Master says, learn to die so that you may begin to live. That is, wherever, to whatever point in the body you go at the time of death, you go at the while alive. So when the meditation given to you, come up here, is it not? And here the soul leaves the body. Yes? Yes.
When you leave the body, do the heart stop and everything?
No. Heart stops only when you control the prana, vital airs. In this, heart works. Nothing is disturbed. Heart stops only in those cases who are put underground, who control the pranas. Not in this. That becomes, breathing becomes rhythmic, of course. Yes. When did you come? When? Yes.
Is it not actually the diaphragm that is the last to stop beating? The diaphragm is the last thing to stop beating.
Yes, surely.
The heart goes first and the diaphragm is last because the breathing act starts.
Slowly breathing goes out, stops. Becomes long breaths, then hold it slowly. Machinery, when you see even machinery stopped, engine stopped, the door portion goes on slowly. Yes.
The question here, Maharaj, in the back.
Yes, please.
Would you please give us some lesson on how we might be more loving, how we might practice the values, how we might practice love?
I think they don't need of giving any lecture, everybody knows how to love. But we have not understood the right way of love. That is misused, I would say. Love is ingrained in our own selves. God is love. And love is also ingrained in us, because we are of the same essence as that of God. So love knows attachment. That is but nature. We must have somebody to be attached. Maybe right, maybe wrong. So that very love we are spirit. The love of the spirit of the conscious being should be love with the all spirit. Often. That natural love which is within us, that is attached to the outward thing, to the body, to the passions, to the enjoyments, those are not conscious. But the more you do, the more you are just attached to that thing, you feel drawn inside. That is but natural. But that love has been what? Misplaced. The very love, when it is attached to the body and outward enjoyments, that is called attachment. And the very love, when just it comes in contact with God, is called charity. It's the same thing, misdirected. Misdirected love is called attachment, and rightly directed is called charity. Well, this question was put to Mawlana Rumi, Mohammed is saying. He said, don't you think this is love which is just developed by our eating and drinking? That is called lust. It is the quality of the soul. You see? It overflows with love if it is withdrawn from the outside. Our soul, the outer expression of that is what? Attention. So wherever attention is diffused in so many ways, our love is distributed. If that is withdrawn with our love, that will overflow. And if it comes in contact with all consciousness, that will be mouthpiece of God. And the saint is, I will define, who is overflowing with love for God and for all humanity. So it is not lust, mind that. That love is attached to the body and outward going faculties, and that stands in the way of realization, mind that. If love starts from the physical body and absorbed in the soul, that is right. You can go on. But if it is just attached to the body and the outer attachment, that is standing in the way. That very thing is called lust. So if you want to develop love, it's just to withdraw attention from outside. Just come within your own self. You will be overflowing with love. If you come within own self, then you'll see the controlling power, which is all love, and you'll be overflowing with love. This love cannot be purchased from the shops over there, you see. It is not grown in the fields. It is already within you. There is one way to have, impetus, that is those who have life of love, you see. Not lust mindedness, of love, says in the company our love is just awakened, flared up. This question was put to Guru Amar Das. He says, thousands of curses be on the man who has got the man body, has not dwelt love for God. And thousands of curses on that man who is just attached to the outside world and has forgotten himself in God. Then he says, what to do, where to get this love? Because without love, that's all Master says, love God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. So, we have to love God, you see. But he says, how to have it? First thing is by withdrawing outside. And just coming in company of somebody who is love personified, who is overflowing with love for God and for all humanity, for the sake of God, not for the sake of the physical bodies that we are carrying, whether they are black or white. You see? For the sake of the soul in him, that love, if you have got, you see, that will be flared out when you come across some, in the company of somebody, where that love is overflowing. That is called saints. they have that flare up, you see. And what happens? When you, that love is there, all your attention will be drawn from outside, attracting there. The glory of God or the beauty of God is centered there. That attracts every soul. When that soul is withdrawn, attention is also withdrawn from outside. He just gets a clearing up. Principle works the same way. By withdrawing your attention from outside, first you have to make an effort. In this way you are drawn up itself. When you come within you, love is there. Yes?
Do you have in India, in Dalai, India, do you have a protege under your tutorship to carry on when you leave the physical plane?
Do you have a successor that you're schooling now?
Yeah, there are being schooled so many. Let us see who the gods delights. Truly speaking, it is mind that even in the master, it is the God working in him, you see. That will come of itself when God will see it, you see. I wish each one of you should be selected, but you come up to the mark. I wish each one of you should be ambassadors. Yes. I told you what happened. Last even, I came in 1955, there were two children. I generally make children sit. And they have just got some light, etc. I asked them, what do you want? They said, we want to become masters. I said, all right, you have been put on the way. Go on with it, you may be selected as a master. It is not a selection for the people below that you select a superintendent or a minister and this and that. It is selection from God, you know. Yes?
Master, in one of the mimeograph releases through the years, it was said there, in one of the mimeograph releases through the years, it was said that Guru Nanak prophesied there would be 14 gurus of the Sikhs and then 70 lesser gurus after that.
What are you to do? You mind your own business. The same thing will come up, you see, when Christ returning. In God, you know, he cannot let alone his children, you see, who are seeking their food for the hungry and water for the thirsty. Yes.
A question here this lady has.
Two, yes, I'm sure.
I wondered what set of breathing, what system of breathing we could all use that would help us.
Natural. Very good. Very good. When the child is born, when the child is born, what sort of breathing is? We the start of breathing, I tell you honestly. Children, take a deep breath. Their belly is first full and then the lungs. And our lungs are filled first and the belly. That's the wrong way. Your wife, any child, little child, he takes breathing first in that. Stomach is blown, you see. Then upper portion, then stomach like that.
Abdomen.
And abdomen. Now what we do? We, our lungs are first of all and then the belly. And the breathing doesn't go into the belly, abdomen. That's a natural work. Yes, please.
These releases, can we send them to people that we think might be interested but know nothing of this?
What releases? Which?
The releases that
we get.
Oh, yes, send to anywhere. It is all gift of God, you see. I have not reserved rights. Even on the books, I have not given any reserved rights. People write a little pamphlet, they say, all rights are reserved. Even on the book you'll find no rights are reserved, and it is a gift from God for all humanity. You'll find very unnatural in the eyes of the people, you see, because they want to earn a deserve some rights. Well, this is a gift of God. If I have got anything, that is God, and God gives it to give to all. We must learn to stand on our own learning. and to just selling the gifts of God. Is it not like that? Guru Nanak said it is a heinous crime to sell the gifts of God. They must be given free. What we are doing, you see, any master will come up, he will look up from that very angle. In my book, you will nowhere find racism. You'll find, of course, the rights of the book are not reserved for them, pertain to all humanity. I think many hundreds of copies you make, send out to the people at last. And that's what I mean.
Help the Holy Court.
Yes. Are there any rights reserved on the Bible? I think they have got it now. Similar for the other scriptures too. They have reserved the right now, not before. Yes? Well, it is very clear, you see. Whom you remember, whom you love, don't you remember it? What is remembrance? It is a symbol of love with somebody. You love with somebody, all the same you are remembering it. May not be with your mouth, but in your heart. And whom you want to love, remember it constantly, that is your love, that's all. Why we do simranna, remembrance, the first step in this way? Because, you know, through the various outgoing faculties, the impressions of the outside world have been just heaped up in us to overflowing capacity. Our subconscious reservoir of mind is overflowing with the worldly impressions. Those impressions came by the remembrance of the outward thing. They want to deplete that and then fill it with the sweet remembrance of God. You see? So much so that even in dreams you have the same thing. So much so even you go to very deep state of sleep, even then those words may be reverberated through your mouth. Such like remembrance, that's the first step. To deplete the subconscious reservoir of your mind, which is already overflowing with the impressions and the remembrances of the world. That's the first step. Then the next step is, this is truly speaking the purity of heart. When there is nothing else other than love of God or remembrance of God is there, that is too pure. Such a heart is required for somebody to come. So that's the first step, you see, for the sake of taking up the way in the spiritual world. They say, love God, is it not? How? With all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. The loving God is what he is. You remember? Whom you love, naturally remembrance is there. Whom you want to love, just keep him in your mind, and that will react in his mind. This is but natural. That is what Christ meant when he said, let my words abide in you, and you abide in me. First part is very clear, but how you can abide in it. Whom you remember, naturally that your reaction there. That reaction, you see, you want to abide in him, it is only how to do it, remember him sweetly. When you remember him, you think of him. As you think of him, you become what he is. As you think so, you become. So this is way, how can you abide in me? And he said, then whatever ye shall ask, you will have it. This is first step, you see. This is principle of which this simranna, repetition, or the sweet remembrance, called by any name you like, that the first time. As you think, so you become. Yes?
Colin has a question.
One at a time, please.
Master, we seem to have difficulty in learning to love our enemies or those with whom we do not agree. That seems my big problem, learning to love
that is everybody's biggest problem, but the point is, if we know that we have got the same soul which is misdirected by mind under some impressions, still he has got the same soul simply misdirected. If you have realized that thing, then only you can love the enemy. For the time being, sometimes you have to say something to somebody. In the 10th guru of the Sikh, there was some aggression. Another party had to stand the show to save the innocent people. And he, at that time, this fight was only made with the arrows and the like that. So what did he do? That he, on the arrow on the front side, he put in one gold. If anybody is hurt by that, he can remedy it. By arrow, man is not killed all at once. That only becomes wounded. So he put some metal, I mean gold, in the front of the arrow which could go and pinch another, you see, and pinch another. So that if he is wounded, he should have some money to help him, you see. This is what is called love, the enemy. Yes, please.
Master, in meetings, there are times when they've come to Walter about that they take an oath of poverty and they feel that it is wrong to have a lot of things. And we were going to ask you about it, how to handle a situation.
He says at the meeting, many people come and say they take an oath of poverty. They don't want to have a lot of money.
Yeah.
And so that's the question to come. How much poverty should one have?
I know that is a good question, you see. The world is full of hypocrites. You have to guard against that. You see? The point is, you see, we are only to live on two loaves of bread and one loaf of bread. Our own expenditure is not more than here a dollar or two a day, if we live simply, simple way. All others, what we earn, it is for the children, or the friends, or the other people. If we hold millions, they are left behind. We simply use what we clothe or what we eat. So all masters say what earned by hard dint of plow, you see, by the dint of hard labor, honest earnings, then live your own self and share with others. Yes. Though Kabir says, you got this body. Body, this man body is called in Punjabi by the word they. They means two things. One body, the other is gift. He says, so long as you have got this day or body, always learn give, give, give and give. When you leave the body, who will ask you to give? So whatever you earn, it is not for our own self. That is why I issued one circular. Simplify, simplify, simplify. We should cut down our desires, demands to what we want. Then you will have money to help others. Now people say we cannot have enough money to live our own self. Why? Because our desires are more than really what our own is. You cannot help others unless you cut down your own living. Not cut down to your death. I don't mean the death. Maintain yourself, maintain your family, and try to share with others whatever little it may be, one cent. That way, the self expands. Give, give and give. love knows service and sacrifice. If you love God, love all humanity, naturally you know to serve others who are naked, the hungry, the thirsty, another who wants this and the sick. So our man is one who lives for others, mind that. Other than even the animals live for their own selves. Where the difference between the two? Yes, please.
Do I understand you to say that, in another way,
yes,
that a person can be a millionaire or multi-millionaire,
yes,
and live very simply with the minimum of comfort,
yes,
and yet have his money work to help others, to employ others?
Well, what did Christ said? He clearly said, though the world, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, keep this. Distribute all your wealth and come to me. Then he said, it is easier for a camel to pass through the needle, through the eye of a needle, than a wealthy man to pass through it. That means the man who is expended, oh, so much given up to the outward enjoyments, etc. He spends in vain, you see. Instead of you can live in a simple way which is best suited to maintain your health. Maintain your health, it is, I think, the true temple of God. The longer you can keep, the better, because in man body only you can know God, you see. But we can live whatever required, you see. Whatever you can just in a way can save, you can help others, otherwise you cannot help others. That is natural law. Yes.
Master,
was there ever such a thing as a Pope? I mean, you know, St. Peter?
Huh? You want to know whether there was ever a St. Peter, you know, the founder of the Christian Catholic Church?
Well, I don't know. I've read in scripture. I was not then in body. Scriptures tell us they were existed. Excuse me. Now people are going to doubt in the Christ, Jesus, whether he lived or not. Then what to do? We are concerned with the teachings, please. That's all. Teachings are the same as given by God. We do refer to all. History is written generally later on, nobody knows. I tell you, I was going to write about Tulsi, a great saint. I wanted to find out his lineage in connection with the life of Baba Jamal Singh. I could not find. He was the eldest brother who was to just, I mean, see to the throne of Pulkur family. He left the scene, became a recluse and turned out to be saint later on. And the second brother was sat on the throne. I tried to find out whether his name was Shyam Rao Pulkur, but his name is not given in the history also. What to do? I know when a man is just leaves one place, there people say he was nobody. I'm nobody in my home there. In the feet of the masters. This is generally happens, you see. So history is history, whether he existed or not, what we learn from his teaching, if you got any. If we are going to doubt, then everything is doubtful. Well, masters always say, only believe what you see. Don't believe in the saying of scriptures too, in the saying of the past masters too, unless you have got the same experience in your own self. We can take off as an experimental media. But we cannot be convinced unless we have the same experience of our own self, maybe little or more. We can dwell with that. Yes?
Coming back to simplifying the life, as both of us who have houses, they all need upkeep, the gardens and so forth, would it not be better then to sell the house and just move in a small little cabin or a room and have more money then, or time again?
Nice. Why to spoil the show? Continue that, no save further if you get it.
Why spoil the show? Continue on like you've been doing.
And save the money if you find the future.
But it didn't give
enough time. If need be, well, I tell you, if need be, you may sell it. If needful.
If
there are thousands of people dying hungry, well, send you everything for them. That's out of love you have to do. But that is not a general rule, is it? That giving up everything for the sake of others, that requires, I mean, very great development. You say all that, where to live then? If you can afford to have another one, that's all right. No, we can change our life for future at least. And if you've got anything enough and to spare, you may share with others. There's no hard and fast rule against it, that love, no service and sacrifice. Yes, that's all right. Yes?
I've been here an hour and a half.
Well, talking, that time is flying, you see. That's all right. Anyhow, in talking, you get so many things cleared which you don't find when you read it through scriptures. Although the reference are good, then yes, what you want to say?
Just a little continuation.
What
are you doing here? Two sounds.
Well, take up the higher sound.
Take up the higher sound.
All right.